This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
In his campaign, Joe Biden offered himself as a candidate of unity and moderation, somebody who would work with Republicans.
You know, one of the reasons he ran for president, as you've all heard him speak about, is to help bring the country together.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
He criticized what he called a, quote, extreme MAGA philosophy. He said, quote, it's almost like semi-fascism.
What do you mean by semi-fascism?
You know what I mean.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And we're here to say that the era of Trump and Zeldin and Molinaro, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town.
You've gone mental. I'm getting out of here.
Fine, then go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
I am.
Go.
I'm gone.
Go then.
But I am.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
I'm telling you, if you didn't tell me that was Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, I would say that's Hillary Clinton. She sounds almost just like her. Maybe a little bit more masculine, a little rougher around the edges, almost a dead ringer, kind of that former smoker's voice she's got going on, that slight rasp, and the same fierceness, the same vitriol, the same hate. Ugh, no thank you. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. My name's Taylor Cormier. I'm the executive producer for the Howie Carr Show, and actually today that role is being filled by Jared Diglio, who's also the executive producer of the Grace Curley Show. So thanks, Jared, for sitting in, and Howie is off for the day. He will be back tomorrow. Just wanted a nice day off, and he's got it. Lovely day down on the Cape, I'm sure. 844-500-4242. I wanted to start it off today by talking about what's going on with the CSI Palm Beach, Ocean Boulevard, the raid at Mar-a-Lago. We're in week four. This happened 3 weeks ago. We're
Mar-a-Lago!
The fourth week of what? What, as Mr. Garcia would say, what the hell going on? And we saw the affidavit released last week, and it was heavily redacted, as we all know. You didn't really learn all that much new from the affidavit, except from the number of documents that were supposedly classified as different class levels. And that was it. But that was anytime I tuned into the radio over the weekend, just casually driving around or getting ready for one event or another, that was all you heard. The top story, the affidavit into the search at Mar-a-Lago that led way to the search warrant was released, and we're learning more. And nothing ever told me any more. I don't know what more is at the moment. But now the New York Times, after learning almost nothing new, is really jumping the gun here and calling for an immediate indictment of Donald Trump. The Justice Department has got to come down this time. This time we've got him dead to rights. We've got to throw him in jail and toss the key away. It's unthinkable that this man took documents that he viewed in his presidency and maybe deemed necessary for a run in 2024 to have these documents by his side so he could, you know, reference them from time to time if he needed, or, you know, keep them in his possession because he knew he was going to be returning to the White House one day. How dare he keep these documents? He's got to be persecuted and prosecuted.
How dare you?
And every other kind of cutie out there, we've got to get him. New York Times is calling for his indictment. It's ridiculous. It would be laughable if it weren't so sad. This is really grasping at straws here. We've come so far here in the persecution and prosecution of Trump. No, I'm not confusing those words. I know exactly what each one means. It's both a persecution and a prosecution. They've incessantly persecuted the man, tried to prosecute him several times. We started with Russia, 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 right? Which went on for a number of years and finally culminated in an independent or allegedly independent investigation with special prosecutor Robert Mueller. Millions and millions and millions of taxpayer dollars and time wasted, and really half of Donald Trump's presidency kind of not lame ducked, but really diverted from its goals and aspirations because they had to deal with this circus of Russia, 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 and ended up with Robert Mueller sitting before a congressional panel saying, we really don't have anything. There is no there. There's nothing on the guy to suggest that he was colluding with Russia. And come to find out after, it's funny how Robert Mueller didn't uncover any of this, but come to find out afterwards, it wasn't even anybody in Trump's campaign that had set this up. It was the Clinton campaign that had set this up and was colluding to overthrow a duly elected president by inserting this narrative. And it's very laughable. The New York Times' reasoning for indicting Trump and even the DOJ's reasoning for getting this warrant in order to take down Trump before he has the opportunity to get up off his back and make a run in 2024. So we went from Russia, Russia, Russia to the Ukraine call. No quid pro quo, a perfectly good call, Trump said. It was a perfect phone call. There was nothing in that phone call to suggest that there was a quid. If you look into the Bidens, he wanted assurances from this newly elected presidency, who we all know his name now. He wanted assurances that the traditionally corrupt regime in Ukraine was going to come to an end, that a lot of these corrupt politicians would be brought to heel, these corrupt dealings would be completely incinerated with this guy Zelensky being the president of Ukraine. He wanted an end to that in order to have a solid relationship between Ukraine and the United States going forward. And part of that, and obviously a warranted suspicion on Donald Trump's behalf, was Biden's involvement in Ukraine. Why was Hunter Biden on this board of an energy company? Why was he flying back and forth? Why was he going to Moscow? Why was he going to China? It was a lot of corruption that was just part of the traditional celebrated corruption that has been and was Ukraine. And still could be. That's all he wanted. That's all this was about. Hey, while you're looking into this stuff, maybe take a look at Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. Seems to be some sort of discrepancy there, some malfeasance. It's just interesting how a former VP's son, who has no dealings or knowledge of energy at all, is on the board of Burisma. It's weird, don't you think? And then came January 6th. So he was impeached for the Ukraine call. January 6th comes along. And they're still going after it. I mean, you've got to listen to these cuts. We'll play them later on in the show. But Bill Maher, who's nobody's hero when it comes to the right or Donald Trump, but he every now and then, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Bill Maher does execute some level of independent thought. He had Rob Reiner and Amy Klobuchar on his show over the weekend, and he discussed... They wanted to discuss January 6th. That's all they wanted to talk about. But Bill Maher wanted to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop story and why that wasn't a big deal. And it's amazing how completely dumbfounded Rob Reiner and Amy Klobuchar were at the news that the media at all were suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story. And these are supposed to be educated people. These are supposed to be people in the know. Rob Reiner, actor, director, self-proclaimed activist. Amy Klobuchar, senator, candidate for president at one time, could be candidate for president in the near future. or maybe vice president, who knows, they either had no idea the level of suppression that was going on, or they are just completely outright lying about it, but they honestly seemed to not even know. So if these are the highly educated, really in the know people, think how much less educated about the Hunter Biden laptop story your average on the street Democrat is. Who? What? I didn't know that. That's the level we're dealing with here. But they wanted to keep talking about January 6th. And we've heard the cuts. We're not going to play it again of Donald Trump saying to the crowd in the Capitol, I know you're going to march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol and make your voice heard. That's it. There was no inciting of a riot. There was no spurning on of an insurrection. Nothing of the sort. And now it's trickled down to, well, we couldn't get him on Russia. We kind of got him on Ukraine, but nobody really cared. We're still trying to get him on January 6th. Even fewer people care now than when we first started trying to get him. What do we got left? Let's go to his last day in office, and he's running out the door, and what's he got in his pocket? That's all we can come up with. What does this guy have in his basement now? That's the best level of persecution and prosecution that they've been led to investigate, because they have absolutely nothing else. Picture it, Donald Trump on his last day of office, January 20th, 2020, 2021 rather, and he's walking out. He takes the last look, turns around, his hand goes toward the light switch. He's turning it off as he's leaving. And this whole search warrant is the equivalent of somebody running up to him and said, what do you got in that box full of stuff, son? That you cleared out your desk. What are you taking with you? And that's where we're at. It's in the New York Times. You got to read this. You got to hear this. And we'll get into it a little bit after the break here. Their reasoning for wanting Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice to, without any real due process here, to indict Donald Trump on what? Over what? 844-500-4242. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
He's the undisputed king of New England Talk Radio.
It's good to be the king.
Howie Carr. There's no silencing him. They've tried.
You're not going to intimidate me. I'm entitled to my opinion.
Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 is the number. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7. Stop procrastinating and get your energy back. Save $10 plus free shipping at balance7.com when you put in code Howie. Jared, what's today's poll question? What are the results thus far?
What would it take to convince you to purchase an electric vehicle? Range of 300 miles or more, reduced risk of fire, sale price equal to gas-powered vehicles, or reduced energy costs?
That's tough. It goes between the bottom three for me. I'd have to say reduced cost of the vehicle. It's just too damn expensive right now.
Yeah, 53% of the audience is in the camp of sale price equal to gas-powered vehicles. Second place, 22% range of 300
really?
Miles or more.
That's surprising.
Reduced energy costs in third place at 15%, and only 10% would be reduced risk of fire.
See, if I did plunk down the 62 grand on average that it costs for a brand new electric vehicle, I don't think I'd care so much about the range, because I'd have it home, I think, to charge every night. I would keep it away from the house because of the risk of fire. But I would keep one of our gas-powered vehicles in case we wanted to take a road trip that was longer than a 300-mile round trip. So, yeah, I'd keep one gas-powered vehicle. But again, the electric cars are just so damn expensive. Who can really afford them? And I chose that poll question, of course, because California by 2035 or something is going to all new electric vehicles. No more new gas-powered vehicles. No fossil fuel vehicles by the year 2035. So, and Massachusetts is pretty much following suit. So that's a lot of fun. 844-500-4242. So just quickly, the New York Times editorial board, again, calling for the indictment of Donald Trump based on redactions, I suppose. This is probably the funniest part of their entire editorial here. The Times asserts that the, quote, nation has been transfixed, unquote, by the overly produced primetime hearings of the essentially partisan Democrat-run January 6th committee, which hauled witnesses before the cameras to give hearsay testimony. In my travels, and I don't really travel too much, but in my travels, in my circles, or just eavesdropping on people at the coffee shop, I never heard anybody, not once, say, boy, did you catch those January 6th hearings last night? Except if that statement was followed up by, boy, that lady had some really terrible double hearsay about Donald Trump grabbing the wheel of the beast and karate chopping a Secret Service agent before he drop kicked Dwayne the Rock Johnson in order to get to the Capitol. Like he's in the Expendables with Sylvester Stallone or something. 844-500-4242. Nick, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing? Hey, it's my humble opinion. I just thought of another facet to it, too, while I was waiting to get on. They're saying they found specific things as if they forecasted, well, we're justifying our way because we believe these things were there. My take on this, they knew damn well that they were there. They either put them there in this past year, right, or they saw them there. So they got a hot dog warrant to go breaking into the Mar-a-Lago and saying, we got a warrant, and it could redact everything, but there's certain things we thought they were there, and lo and behold, they were there. Well, that's because they saw them already there, or they put them there. So,
well, I mean, listen to this, Nick. This was part of the warrant for the search at Mar-a-Lago. The government initiated the search in response to what it believed to be a violation of federal laws, 18 U.S.C. 793, gathering, transmitting, or losing defense information, 18 U.S.C. 2071, which is concealment, removal, or mutilation, and 18 U.S.C. 1519, destruction, alteration, or falsification of records in federal investigations. Does that ring a bell? Is that how the whole Russia thing got started?
Yes, exactly. And you can throw Madam Hillary's extreme negligence as extreme carelessness as opposed to gross negligence, which would have gotten her thrown in jail. Strzok had to change that, by the way, in that stupid Comey's original report that he was going to read to everybody. He said, you cannot, quote, use the word negligence, because if you do, it's right there in the statute.
Right, exactly. So,
but then
exactly.
Again, there are no teeth in the presidential, and that also includes vice presidential either. And by the way, as we're saying last week, where the hell is Tara Reid's, what do you call it, sexual assault complaint?
Yeah, those are locked up at the University of Delaware. Thanks very much for the call, Nick. And there's already precedent here, isn't there? President Obama, he left office and took some supposedly classified documents with him to Chicago. National Archives came knocking and said, I guess keep these under lock and key, will you? Grace's News up next. This is the Howie Carr Show. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 is the number to join us. I just wanted to make one more point about the New York Times calling for the indictment of Donald Trump based on what we don't know. I doubt they have any more information than anybody else out there that is not a part of the federal government to know that... What's in these documents? What kind of classifications do they have? For all we know, they could just be evidence of aliens and Bigfoot and whatnot. We have no idea. Certainly the nuclear information narrative seems to have fallen apart. But they're calling for it, not knowing for what is in these documents, yet they suppressed the Hunter Biden story for well over a year, and they knew full well what was in that and did nothing. They sat on it, and now they have the righteous indignation to come out and say Donald Trump should be indicted based on, well, who cares? So that's hypocrisy at its finest. Anyway, it is time now for Grace's news.
I can't help but notice you said they could just have information on Bigfoot or aliens, as if that wouldn't be.
We all know, right?
A big, big deal
we
to
all
a lot
know.
Of people, including someone who's here right now, our Bigfoot alien expert, Jared Digley.
Jared, what is your ruling on Bigfoot? Is there a Bigfoot out there?
There's absolutely a Bigfoot out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. We don't need any top secret documents. We got Jared to tell
us. Do you think there was a Bigfoot out there and he's extinct now? Or is there a secluded and protected Bigfoot community?
Or maybe it's like, and Jared, sorry, I know this is your expertise, but can I just throw one idea out there? Maybe
is this going to be an injecting bleach kind of moment?
Probably.
Okay.
Because I am just kind of coming up with
what
it as I
Bigfoot
go.
Bigfoot doesn't have big feet.
What if it's more like a mascot situation where when one Bigfoot dies, there's just another Bigfoot? You know what I mean? It's not that there's...
The Spuds McKenzie principle?
Yeah. It's not that there's one Bigfoot throughout all time. It's that there's always a new Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's Bigfoot sightings all over the world, so I don't think there's just one.
Oh, so you think they mate?
Absolutely.
As long as we believe Bigfoot is real.
Bigfoot and together they're
I'm
big
surprised,
feet.
Actually, Joe Biden isn't in the Bigfoot search logs saying he reported seeing one when he was at the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Well, he was playing baseball.
Right. He was either at the foothills or the precipice or the plateau.
Is there a difference between Bigfoot and Sasquatch?
No.
They're the same thing.
Same thing. Different. Sasquatch is the Indian term, the Native American term.
Well, that's it for me. That was Grace's news.
Excellent.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you, Grace.
This is from the New York Post. More than half of Democrats think Biden should not run in 2024. I know what people are thinking when I read that. Who are the people who think he should run in 2024? Alas, there are still some Democrats.
Well, didn't Joe Biden justified this several weeks ago by saying, but they said they would vote for me.
Yeah, if they didn't have any
if
other options.
If they didn't have any other options, yeah, which was the key phrase that he left out of his statement.
Yeah, Democrats give Biden high marks on his government experience, his policy knowledge and experience, and his efforts to unify the country. But when it comes to him mounting another campaign...
His ability to use that experience, however, received very low grades.
56% say he should bow out, a USA Today poll released Sunday shows. This is also coming off of a lot of polls that are now showing that the Republican lead in the midterms, especially in regards to the House, is kind of dissipating. I don't tend to believe those. I'm not even really looking at anything until we get closer. We're still 70 days out, and that doesn't really tell you a lot because it's still pretty far away. People aren't zeroed in yet on the midterms. I mean, I know we are, but we kind of are in a different world here. But they are really trying to get that narrative going that Biden's picking up a lot of steam with all these legislative wins. He's like Rocky, boom, boom, boom.
That's the second Sylvester Stallone reference on the show today.
Oh, my God. We're only 38 minutes in.
Wow.
Why did you mention him?
I equated Donald Trump to being in The Expendables with Sylvester Stallone, and I forget why already.
Well, I don't want to change gears here.
That was takedown of the driver during the Beast.
Oh, yes, yes.
Debacle.
Yes, he was. He karate chopped a Secret Service agent. He tackled Dwayne The Rock Johnson and all this.
He squirted a ketchup at the Secret Service agent and then grabbed the wheel. Boom, boom. He's got both arms going.
Instead of an oil slick, the Beast is outfitted with a ketchup slick.
Yeah.
Yes. Hamburger cannon.
On that note, though, it would be really unlike me to change gears here and completely go off topic. But did you hear about what's happening with Sylvester Stallone?
No, he's getting a divorce.
He's getting a divorce.
Yo.
And he's been married a pretty long time for Hollywood standards. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I think it was like over 10 years. And the reason I bring this up is because there were rumors that the reason him and his wife were getting divorced. And Jared, find out exactly
how long.
She can't
understand him?
No. Find out how long they've been married. Because it was a pretty long time.
I think over 20 years.
25 years.
So in Hollywood, that's like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the rumors are that she wasn't crazy about the dog that he got, or that she didn't like the dog.
Oh, that's the reason they gave to the press.
No, he's actually denying that. He's saying, no, you know, we did have disagreements about the dog, but that wasn't the reason for our divorce. And then some people are thinking, well, thou doth protest too much, maybe now that you're denying it. But the reason I bring that up is because he had a tattoo of his wife on his bicep, and I couldn't tell. This might be a Babylon Bee headline, so again, Jared, please fact check me. Thank you. But I think he turned the picture of his wife on his arm into the dog.
Oh, no.
I am looking at the tattoo right now. It's on his right shoulder, and yes,
Is that real?
It is real. Yep. It looks like his wife turned into, I am not a dog expert,
a mastiff of some sort.
Yeah, it's definitely become,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, become the dog.
And pretty quick, they announced their divorce and then the tattoo was changed.
I hope, like, on his Instagram, he gave props to that tattoo artist who should be in business for the rest of his life if he can transform a person into a dog.
Do you think if you get a tattoo, and I know that you're not a tattoo guy, I don't know that actually.
I'm not a tattoo guy.
Okay.
Now you know.
But if you got a tattoo,
mm-hmm.
and it was something you wanted,
yeah,
and then you had to change it. So let's say, you know, you're Sylvester Stallone, you're married, and then you got to, would you change it at that point, or would you try to get it taken off? Because the taken off is really, I heard from Mark Wahlberg, not personally, I saw this in an interview, he didn't call me up or anything, but
supposedly very painful, right?
Way worse than getting the actual tattoo.
And there's still kind of remnants of it there from what I've seen.
I think it makes your skin a
little
weird.
Fade away after time, but
at the same time, I don't think I would want a tattoo that gets turned into something else. To me, that's just strange.
Yeah,
now you have a giant dog on your arm.
Then you have to explain further why you have this tattoo.
Yeah, because clearly the second tattoo, there's no way, they must give you some options. Like, listen, this picture, let's say I have Taylor on my arm, this picture of Taylor's face,
that's so sweet.
Right.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
You have 3 hours ahead of you trying to give you a lot of confidence here. I have Taylor on my bicep. They must give me a few options. Like, okay, we can change this into a pit bull or, you know, this or that or that. But I don't think you could just pick anything. So there's no way that the second tattoo is going to mean as much as the first.
I mean, she had to look like a mastiff in the first place.
It's kind of like you've got to have a canvas that...
She's a very pretty woman. She's a model.
Large in order to... work with something, but if, as long as the second tattoo is bigger and I think is able to cover up more of what the first tattoo
more
is,
more detailed,
like there's more detail and there's just more surface area of the subject of the second tattoo to color in, it makes it easier. I've seen this done before, but it's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot, and it makes you think, like, maybe don't get it in the first place.
But again, as the kids say, mad props to that tattoo artist.
Mad props, no cap.
What's the no cap?
That means, like, heck yes.
Why?
If we're speaking like the youth, I'm just throwing in more stuff for you.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, well, I'm keeping you hip, kid.
Getting jiggy with it.
Oh, God. Elon Musk subpoenas Twitter whistleblower over spam bot-related documents. This is a saga that we have now gone into, like, several chapters of Elon Musk versus Twitter.
Is he buying Twitter or no? That's what I want to know.
I think it's a no, and now I'm starting to think people were right when they said from the beginning that he had no real intention. But I will say that if this gets us more information about the spam bots on Twitter, and it kind of brings Twitter down a peg, it would be worth it. Peter Zatko, the Twitter whistleblower who revealed several security problems with the platform, has received a subpoena from Elon Musk for more information regarding his claims about Twitter's bot estimates. So Zatko was pretty high up. This wasn't like some guy who worked at, you know, a low-rung employee of Twitter.
Right. He had worked for Google and some other big tech firms in the past.
Yeah.
He had a pretty legitimate background.
Yeah. And he is now being subpoenaed by Elon Musk. And a lot of what he was talking about was a key element of Musk's attempts to justify his decision to end his acquisition of the social media platform. The subpoena comes a week after Zatko's whistleblower complaint made waves on Capitol Hill and in the technology industry. So just giving everyone a little update on that. Don't know where it's going to go from there, but I would like to know more about the spam bots, because Jared's always telling me when I get frustrated with the Trump deranged people on Twitter that I shouldn't pay them any mind because most of them are bots.
Are bots. Any handle I see with a series of numbers that don't appear to mean anything after the handle, I assume is a bot.
Bot. Yeah. 1 in 4 Britons will not turn on heating over winter months.
Oh, no.
just under, I only bring this up.
Christmas Carol 2022.
I wasn't going to talk about this, but.
Pizza, more coal for the fire.
You were talking about electric cars. I know that's your poll question. Just under 1 in 4 Britons will leave their heating off over the winter as the price of energy surges. Polling released on Monday has suggested that just under 1 in 4 Britons will not turn on their heating due to the rising price of energy. And according to a report by the Telegraph, polling commissioned by the Liberal Democrats completed last week has revealed that around 23% of people plan to not turn on their heating this winter. I don't know what they plan on doing.
Yeah, what do you plan to do? Blankets can only do so much. Believe me, in my house, the temperature is at one setting pretty much all year round, and that's it.
Do you have a a date that you like to get past before you turn on the heat? You have a small child, so you have to.
Yeah, well, he's got a little careful. He's got a little heater for his room, so he's independent. He is insulated, pun intended, from the thermostat control. You get it?
Yes.
Ha 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 ha.
And so. But yeah, we'd like to get past, it's kind of like my iced coffee, hot coffee rule. There has to be a number of consecutive days at a certain temperature in order for me to make the transition from hot coffee to iced coffee or iced coffee to hot coffee. That's pretty much a general rule. It has some flexibility, but there is kind of the same standard with my home heating.
To be inside that, to be inside that head of yours.
Said November 1st or something.
I'm rethinking this tattoo.
I feel like there's going to be a Taylor Cormier support group built up between people that know me and the absurdities of my rules.
Well,
that I have.
You know what that's called? That's called Hate Mail Monday when we get the compilation of the show today.
Somebody already texted in, said, "Great, can't wait for the recap of today's show on Hate Mail Monday tomorrow."
I'll be totally honest; I can't either because you know what the 9 scariest words in the English language are.
I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is the Howie Carr Show. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Taylor.
All right, HelloFresh is one of our great sponsors. We love HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, Howie has learned that his busy schedule does not mean he has to compromise on wholesome, delicious meals. I've used HelloFresh before, and it is a great, great service. Plenty of meals to choose from. Every week is a new menu, and some favorites rotate through, and some new stuff rotates through every single week as well. So always something new and something favorite to try with HelloFresh. This fall, HelloFresh has my back. They handle the meal prepping and planning. Their pre-portioned ingredients make cooking easy and stress-free. No measuring. That's a big thing. I hate breaking out the measuring cups, and sometimes you only have one cup, and you've got to wash it as when you're done putting in the flour before you grab something else, then wash. It's a mess. But with HelloFresh, it's all done for you. Plus, quick and easy meals, including 20-minute meals, low prep, and easy cleanup options are perfect for busy weeknights. With 30-plus weekly recipes and 70-plus seasonal and convenience items to choose from, there's always something new to enjoy. We're especially excited to make their peanut butter cup brownies. Sometimes Howie shares his recipes with the staff here. The peanut butter cup brownies with chocolate coconut ganache frosting. That sounds pretty good. Plus, not only is HelloFresh cheaper than the grocery store, it's also 25% cheaper than getting takeout. How many times a week do you resort to getting takeout because you don't feel like cooking? It's too hot. Your day was too busy. It's too late to start dinner. HelloFresh makes it all easy. Get started today at HelloFresh.com/Howie16 and use code Howie16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes. That's code Howie16 for 16 free meals at HelloFresh.com/Howie16. HelloFresh.com/Howie16. Once again, the 9 scariest words in the English language. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Did you miss part of today's show?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Just search Howie Carr on your favorite podcast app and listen anywhere, anytime.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
So the New York Times, they put out this whole, really it's a wish list of charges or what they can get Trump on, the DOJ, in the search of the documents at Mar-a-Lago. The specific crimes the Justice Department could consider would likely involve Mr. Trump's fraudulent efforts to get election officials in Georgia, Arizona, and elsewhere to declare him the winner, even though he lost their states. Well, Arizona was called so early on. I mean, Fox News was lambasted for calling that race, even though it was a ridiculously low amount of ballots that were in and verified. I mean, you heard stories and saw evidence of people finding ballots in dumpsters, half burned up, torn apart. Who's to say that this was a fraudulent effort to get Mr. Pence at the January 6th congressional certification of the election to throw out slates of electors from states he lost and replace them with electors loyal to Mr. Trump, and to enlist officials from the Departments of Justice, Homeland Security, and Defense to persuade officials in certain states to swing the election to him and ultimately stir up a mob that attacked the Capitol. The government could also charge Mr. Trump with seditious conspiracy, a serious charge that federal prosecutors have already brought against leaders of far-right militia groups who participated in the Capitol invasion. It's so silly. It's just so silly. 844-500-4242. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to go back to your topic of the electric car costs and give a little bit of my experience.
Sure.
The VW, the e-Golf, that started in 2014, we had it, and that car was amazingly fun to drive. And if you haven't driven any of the VWs, those are the cars to start with.
It was fun to drive? That's your argument in defense for the EVs?
Well, and the cost. I think you can get the e-Golf has been replaced by the ID4, and that one does start at $45,000 thereabouts in the state of Maine with the tax credit. That comes down to about $38,000. And the e-Golf used, I know I sold ours for under $10,000. That would be an amazingly fun car to drive for under $10,000.
Right, but even under $10,000, so how old was that?
That was a 2015, had about 45,000 miles on it. A lot of car left in it. It drove like brand new.
I mean, but compared to the standards of today and how far the technology has come, isn't that kind of, I don't know, a little behind the eight ball? I don't want to say obsolete because you're still driving it, but I mean, the capabilities have gone through the roof since then.
Sure. It's all about your daily driving habits. I mean, if you're driving under an hour or so a day, and that's a good way to do it, just by time, not by distance.
I drive an hour one way to work, so I'm going to be stuck here for the week if that happens to me. Thanks very much for the call.
Taylor, do you want to buy this car or not? Because I got other customers just waiting aside on the line that is dotted.
We bought a car a couple of years ago, same car Grace has, a Toyota RAV4, and it's great. We love it, and it's a fossil fuel-powered vehicle. And we got it for less than $38,000, but it's also a joy to drive, and we couldn't be happier with it. And it's not going to cost us like $10,000-$15,000 to replace a battery if it dies.
If Jim can't sell you that car, he'll eat his hat.
We'll be back. 844-500-4242. I'm Taylor Cormier, and this is the Howie Carr Show.